Church, let's take our Bibles this morning and head to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew 15 this morning with a very unique passage of Scripture, one that you have probably never heard on Mother's Day, one that I kind of struggled with for a while. As I can remember reading back through it, before I began to dig deeply and study, it seems a little strange, but I promise you by the time we're finished, you should be encouraged. You should be inspired. I want to start with something that all of us parents of multiples really understand. Having had three daughters, having had our three girls and then a son, you know, things change when you have more than one child, right? Ladies, I'll start with some things that change for you. What about your clothes? Now, Cindy said I had to be careful with this, so I'm going to take her advice, but I'm still going to tell you anyway because I think it's hysterical. So with your clothes, what do? Well, you know, when you first get pregnant with your first child, man, you're excited to go buy maternity clothes. You begin wearing those maternity clothes long before you really need to, right? And then, of course, with your second child, what do, ladies? You wear your regular clothes as long as possible, right? And by the time you have your third child, your maternity clothes become your regular clothes. So that's really encouraging, right? No, that's terrible. Listen, how do you guys prepare for birth? Do you remember we took the classes on breathing, right? And then you practice religiously learning how to breathe the right way. And then by the second child, you don't waste your time because you know you don't have time for that. And then by the third child, what are you doing? Well, you're asking for an epidural in the eighth month. So that's good, right? What do you do about your little one's clothes? I remember this is exactly what we did. First baby, you pre-wash the newborn clothes, you color coordinate them, you fold them neatly, put them away in the little baby bureau. And then the second child comes along, what are you doing? Well, you just check to make sure they're clean and you discard the ones with the worst of the stains. And then by the time your third kid rolls around, you're looking at each other like, hey, boys wear pink, right? And you're like, yeah, sure, that'll work. What about how you worry about your children? With the first baby, at their first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, you pick them up, you console them. The second baby you pick up when their wailing threatens to wake up your next child, right? And then your third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to restart the electric swing or the mechanical swing, right? And then diapering, you remember diapering with your first kid? Man, it was like clockwork every hour on the hour. You were going to change them whether they needed it or not. What happened by the time you had your second kid? You're going to change it every, what, 2-3 hours maybe? Third kid, you're going to wait until somebody else starts to smell it or it's sagging down to their knees. I mean, that's just what you got to do. Oh, what about the pacifier? Were any of y'all like us with the pacifier? First kid comes along, passy falls on the floor. You say, oh, no, we can't use that. We'll wait till we get home. We'll boil it, right? Second kid comes along, you pick it up, you squirt a little juice on it, make sure the dirt's up. Third one comes, you pick it up, you know, your third kid, you wipe it on your shirt, pop it in your mouth, then pop it in their mouth. I mean, things change, right? Now, I'll close with this one. What about life at home, ladies? This is for you, our mamas. You spend a good bit of every day just gazing at that angelic little face of your first child. Second kid comes along, you spend a little while every day making sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or otherwise hurting your other child. And then the third kid comes along, ladies, what do? You spend a little bit of every day hiding from your children. That's just the way it is, right? You moms, you put up with a lot. And we're going to look at a lady today, a very special lady. You know, she's unnamed, but she's not unnoticed. And so Jesus says something stunning about her. In fact, he says something about her that he says about almost no one else in all of the New Testament. In fact, many biblical scholars argue this may be the greatest compliment that Jesus gives anyone, anywhere, throughout all of his ministry. He says, woman, you have megas pistis, which means this, great, mega, huge faith. You have some of the greatest faith I have ever witnessed, and I'm going to reward that faith. So we get the title today, A Mother's Mega, from the Greek, A Mother's Mega Faith. And there are some lessons we can learn from the mega faith of a motivated mother. In chapter 14, you'll remember Jesus fed the multitude, right? Took a couple of fish sandwiches and fed thousands. Then he had some solitary time in prayer. He walked on the water through the disciples. Chapter 15, he's going to the region of Galilee. That would be the northern region around the Sea of Galilee in the Holy Land of Israel. And he's teaching the religious leaders that corruption doesn't so much come from what you put in the body, but what comes out through the mouth and such. And so he's doing all of this teaching. Then Jesus needs a break. Jesus is essentially about to go take a little mini vacation. So he's going to leave the Jewish region of the Galilee in northern Israel, and he's going to go up into another area. And when he gets there, he's going to encounter this very concerned mama. And Mama Bear's going to come out, and Mama Bear is not going to let go until Jesus gives her the attention that she's desiring. And it's a crazy exchange. And when you first read it, you're going to go, whoa, that doesn't necessarily paint Jesus in the best light. But when you unpack it and get to the truth, you'll see Jesus had a plan and a purpose, a priority in how he was going to reward this mama's mega faith. Stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Let's pick up with Matthew 15:21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." So Tyre and Sidon are a little ways off, and he's going for a little break. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' And then this mother came, and she worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith.'" Mega is your pistis, your faith, your trust. "Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. It's a little challenging for us in this culture and in this climate. But God, when we unpack it, when it was written and where it was written and what it was written for, I believe that we can learn to not only understand it, but to apply the truths that we can learn from this mother and her incredible, miraculous encounter with the Lord Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. We are listening, and we are ready to do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys. Be seated. So I'm going to show you three positive characteristics of a truly motivated mama with mega faith. I mean, she's motivated because her baby's sick. Her baby's demon-possessed. And we're not going to unpack all that meant, but what we're going to say is her baby's in bondage, and she wants healing. So what do we see? First, mega faith is precisely directed to Christ. Now, this is the part where you're going to get either YouVersion or our brand new Grace app or your Grace Notes, and jot this down somewhere. Get a pen, take one from the pew if you'd like. Whatever you need to do, jot this down so you can kind of chew on it later. Mega faith is precisely directed to Christ. You know, we can have faith in a lot of people and a lot of things, but mega faith is Christocentric. Christ-centered. It wasn't just centered on the need of her daughter. She was seeking the face of Jesus to meet the need of her daughter. So Jesus had traveled up to this region, this district of Tyre and Sidon. This is in the Gentile territory of what we call ancient Phoenicia, or in modern-day southern Lebanon. It would be near the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and more than likely, Jesus is just taking a break with his disciples, all of whom are Jewish, to leave that Jewish territory to go into the Gentile or non-Jewish territory. And on that journey, notice how the mother addresses Jesus in verse 22. "This Canaanite lady cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, very much like blind Bartimaeus. You remember when he's begging there at Jericho? And he says, oh Lord, son of David. Now this is a woman who didn't believe in the Messiah. She was not a Jew. She didn't have the promises and prophecies of God, but she recognized something about Jesus. I'm sure Jesus' reputation had preceded him. Hey, there's this great prophet in the Galilee region. He's healing people. He's touching people. I'm sure that his reputation went ahead of him. And so this lady says, well, it can't hurt. I've got to give it a try. And she uses very precise language. She needs mercy. She calls him Kyrie, Lord. And she said, we need mercy, Lord. She said, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Of course, the disciples are like, man, let's shoo her away. Most rabbis of the day, most Jewish high teachers like Jesus would have never, ever had any contact with the lady. Sorry, ladies, but it's the truth. They would have shunned you and said, nope, 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 don't have time for that. Nope, we're going to keep going. And even here, Jesus looks a little cold. He doesn't say anything. She's begging for help, and Jesus doesn't say anything. So it looks a little strange to us. But the disciples say, hey, get rid of her. She's crying out after us. They weren't right. She wasn't crying out after them. She was crying out after Jesus. Did you see that? She wasn't crying out after them. And so she was very specific. And the Bible even says she came and worshiped Jesus in 25. We'll come back to that. But some people may misinterpret the Lord's response in verse 24. What does he say? First, he didn't say anything. And then she was persistent. She kept directing her comments at him. And then he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Modern language. I came to my people. I came to the Jews. I came to bring salvation to my own. Now, you might think, boy, that's pretty cold. But it's not when you understand Jesus' mission. The mission of Christ was to first be a light to his own people that would then spread to all the non-Jewish people of the world. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many of us as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those of us who believe in his name. So Jesus had a priority, and I want you to hear this. In fact, I want you to jot this one down. Jesus always extends himself to open hearts and never refuses a person of any race or culture. You could add gender, you could add all sorts of things in there. But he never refuses any person of any race or culture who comes to him in faith. Whether Jew or Gentile, the person who approaches Jesus in true faith and humility was always received. What did the Lord say in Matthew 11, 28? All these are in your notes, by the way. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What did we learn through John 4, 22? That salvation came to the Jews first, but also to the non-Jew. In fact, Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first, and then the Greek, the non-Jew, the Gentile. In fact, Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, tells us to go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Just Jewish nations? No, no, no. All nations. And then we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them what the Lord has commanded us. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts 1:8, what does it say? We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we'll be witnesses of Jesus, starting in Jerusalem. That's our homeland, where we are. And then Judea and Samaria and the uttermost. So the gospel started with the Jews, but the gospel spread very quickly into the non-Jewish world. So in our text, we see a mother of love who moves past multiple barriers. You say, Pastor, what barriers? I'm going to give you three strikes. This lady had at least three strikes against her. What do you mean? Well, I mean this. She's a Canaanite. The Bible identifies her as a Canaanite. There was no love between Canaanites and Jews. She was a Gentile, a non-Jew. There was no love between Jews and non-Jews. And she was, sorry again, ladies, a woman. In that culture of that day, three strikes against her, but she was not out. Three strikes, but she was not out. Mamas, listen to me. As you receive your gifts today, you remember the greatest gift you can give your children is your own personal faith in Jesus. Her faith did not waver. It was precisely directed at Christ. Cindy has a great women's study Bible. And as I was reading the notes about that Bible to get insight on this woman, it said this. The magnitude of a mother's love pulled her as irresistibly as the moon pulls the tides. She was just drawn to Jesus, drawn to the one who could free her daughter. Mega faith, precisely directed to Christ. Not only that, mega faith is persistently, great word, persistently declared about Christ. She wouldn't quit. The disciples tell her to hush up, send her away. She's crying out after us, but she kept going. In fact, not only would she cry out to the Lord, verse 25 says, she came and proskenuo. She worshiped. Listen to that word, proskenuo. It's where we would eventually get the word prostrate. She actually would fall down. She would change her position before the Lord in worship. She was at the end of her rope. She didn't know who else to go to. Who else could I possibly ask for freedom? And so she fell before God in flesh, in a position of humility. And look at what happens. Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That sounds mean, y'all. Guys, if your lady asks you for something, if your mama asks you for something, I don't recommend you call her a little dog, okay? Don't do it. But what is Jesus saying? Now, you got to follow the culture. You got to follow what's happening. Don't apply truth so you understand truth, or you might misapply truth, or you might misapply something else. Understand the truth. What is he actually saying? He says, it is not good to take the children's bread. Children, common euphemism for the children of God, the Jewish people. It is not good to take their bread. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the promised one. I am the Messiah. Not good to take that and throw it to the little dogs. Dogs, common euphemism for non-Jew or Gentile. It's very common to call any non-Jew a dog, but you gotta go deeper. There were two words used in the New Testament for dogs. One, the vicious, mangy mongrel that ran in packs and ate garbage and maybe old carcasses lying around. Those, the mutts, if you will, that were all over the place in that day. And in fact, still in many cultures around the world. But then there was the second kind of dog, the little dog that's like the house dog. Now, I know some of y'all, you love your little dogs. You would do anything. Yes, mother, I'm talking to you. You love your little dog. Some of you would do more for your little dog than your own children. Not you, mama, but some of y'all are so disgusting you let your dogs kiss you in the face and stuff. Don't ever tell me you do that. I will never shake your hand again. I love you, but listen, there's just got to be a limit, right? It's just a dog. But some people absolutely go crazy for their little dog. Some of y'all even like cats. You're a whole nother breed. Anyway, listen. So Jesus, number one, uses that better term of endearment, but it's still not nice. Don't sugarcoat things where the Bible doesn't sugarcoat them. You don't have to. Jesus is big enough to stand up to any and all critique that we may offer, though we have no right to do so. But as we see what's going on, let me use the words of MacArthur. He did a great job unpacking it. He said this, Jesus did nothing unloving and nothing without a divine purpose. He wanted to test the woman's faith to bring it to a full flower. I love what MacArthur says here. He put up the barriers not to keep her away, but to draw her closer. He used the occasion to show the disciples the value of persistent faith and help them distinguish between the genuine and the superficial. Y'all know some folks that just call on Jesus when they need something. Hello? They get what they need and then they're gone. Hello? You know folks like that. Jesus is saying, I'm going to see how serious this mama is. And so MacArthur says, Jesus puts up the barriers to test her faith and to help distinguish between genuine and superficial. He erected barriers that only genuine, persistent faith could hurdle. So what Jesus is doing is pressing in a little bit. Okay, I know we're different. I'm a Jewish rabbi, a teacher. You're a Canaanite, Gentile woman. We should have nothing to do with one another. And he's saying, now look, my priority is to the house of Israel here. I can't take this bread that I have been intending to give my people and give it over to you, right? That's what's going on here. That's the context. But she wouldn't give up. It's like the elderly mother who tripped and fell from the top of a stone stairway outside of a Boston police station. They called the ambulance, carried her to the local hospital, and the doctor examining her looked over to his nurse and he said, I don't think she'll make it 24 hours. Well, the nurse worked to quickly befriend the senior lady since she was all alone. And the lady began to tell the nurse that she had been stopping at every single major city for several years between San Francisco and Boston, always visiting two places, always going to the hospital and always going to the police station. You see, her son had left home several years ago and didn't tell his mother where she was going. And so she was on a journey of love, trying to track him down. When night came, the doctor was standing by the bed of the senior lady. He looked over to his nurse and he said, "I fear it'll only be a few more minutes." So the nurse very quickly bent over. She said, "Ma'am," is there anything I can do for you?" And the lady said, "Yes, there's something you can do." She said, "One day, my son may come looking for me. And if he ever comes, I want you to tell him there are two that never gave up on him, two that never stopped looking for him." And the nurse said, ma'am, who are the two?" With the last sentence she would ever say on this earth and trembling lips, with eyes overflowing with tears, the lady said, "Tell him the two were God and his mama." And she went home to be with Jesus. Now listen, that mother wouldn't give up on her son. This mother wouldn't give up on her daughter. And more than anything, the Lord won't give up on you. I want you to write this down. There's one thing in the world that I see greater than a mother's love and persistence, and that is only the love and persistence of our Heavenly Father. I don't know how it's possible, but I believe that's the only thing greater in all of the known world. Now, some of you may have not had a mother like this, but I tell you, typically and normally, this kind of mother's love is persistent. You know, God has this for us. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All, A-L-L. See, it started with the Jews, but it went beyond the Jews. But why in the world does Jesus refer to this lady as a little dog? Well, again, he's pushing in, testing, seeing, but she is undaunted. It's incredible to me how fast this lady is, whether she was on her face or whether she was back up on her feet. You know what she says right here? Jesus said, "I can't take the little children's bread and throw it to the dog or to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord." In other words, "I got you. I got you, Jewish Messiah, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know what she was saying? "Hey, Jesus, I don't need a whole big bowl of Purina. I just need a couple of little crumbs from you, and that is more than enough to bring healing to my baby girl." You see, sometimes you think, "Well, I just don't have enough of Jesus." Man, all you need is just a little tiny fragment of Jesus, and that is enough. And Jesus goes, "Whoa, wait a minute. Look at this. Listen to what this gal just said. Listen to her, boys. You fellas don't get it. This lady has some mega faith going on." It was kind of like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Y'all remember her? Jesus is pressing through the crowd, and the Bible does not say that this woman jumped up and leapt on him and grabbed his robe. What does it say she did, church? She just did what? Touch the hem of, the hem of Jesus' garment is all you need. Just a little bit of Jesus is enough to bring you total healing, total power. And notice she was not asking on her own behalf. She was asking for her baby girl. She was asking for that child of hers that was severely demon-possessed. The Bible says the mercy and grace of Jesus is sufficient for you. His grace is made perfect in your weakness. His strength, his power is there for you, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And the mother was persistent. She would not quit. So if you have been praying to God, asking for mental, spiritual, emotional, physical healing, anything like that, do not give up. Listen to me, mamas. Listen to me, daddies. Listen to me, grandparents. Listen to me, students. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And the Bible says that in God's time, in God's way, for God's glory, the door will be open to you. Sometimes, initially, God will say no. Sometimes he'll say slow, you're not ready for it. Sometimes he'll say grow, you need to grow up more. Sometimes he'll say go. I heard your faith. I heard your request. You kept on knocking, so I have opened up and given you what you ask for. You be persistent in declaring the truth. And you know, if you haven't been faithful, start today. Man, start right now. It's such a blessing that mom was able to come over and be with us, but I want to tell you about a fellow named Bill. Bill stopped at a flower shop. He was going to order a bouquet to have wired to his mom. He was a busy guy, and he and his wife were out that day kind of picking some stuff up, but he knew Mother's Day was the next day, and he really needed to do something for mom, so he was going to wire some flowers. And there outside of the flower shop was a little girl, and she's sitting on the curb. Man, she's upset. She's just sobbing her little eyes out. Bill walks up to her, and he says, "Sweetheart, are you okay?" She said, "No, sir. I wanted to get a rose for my mama, but I only have 75 cents. And those roses in there are $2. He said, "Baby, don't worry about that. You come on in with me." And so Bill took her in, and he placed the order to wire the flowers to his mama, and he paid $2 for the little girl and let her keep her 75 cents. And then when he came out, since he was with his wife, he said, "Well, sweetheart, do you need a ride so we can take you to somewhere and you can give the rose to your mama?" And she said, "Oh, that'd be very, very nice." And so she began to give Bill directions, but you see, Bill didn't pull into a home. Bill pulled into a cemetery. And a little girl walked up to a freshly dug grave. And there she placed a rose on that grave that had been dug for her mama. Bill immediately got back in the car, and he and his wife rushed back to the florist. He canceled his wire order, and he took those flowers 200 miles to see his mama. Because listen, folks, you just can't give up. It can be hard sometimes. It can be challenging sometimes. There can be distance. We know what that's like as a family. There can be all kinds of things, but there is a persistence here. Man, don't be like the guy named Randy. Oh, Randy called his mom. He was going to call his mother for Mother's Day, but he got her voicemail, and his mom, on her greeting of her voicemail, said, "If you're a salesperson, press 1. If you're one of my friends, press 2. If you're my son Randy, press 911. This call is going to give me a heart attack." Man, don't be like Randy. Mega faith precisely directed to Christ is persistently declared about Christ. And of course, look what happens. Mega faith is properly rewarded by Christ. "Oh, woman," Jesus says in verse 28. "Woman, great, mega is your faith, your belief, your trust in me. Let it be to you as you desire." Bible says the Lord will give us the desires of our heart, but that starts with our petitions to him. And the Bible says the daughter was healed from that very hour. Man, it's incredible. The Bible never says one single word about the faith of the daughter. Did you catch that? I want you to write this down. Jesus brings healing to the daughter through the faith of the mother. You hear that? Some of y'all think, "Oh, my baby. My baby is so far from God. My baby is in such bondage. My girl, my boy, my grandson, they are so far from God." Then listen to me, mama. Listen to me, grandmama. Listen to me, nanas out there. You go to God for them. You trust God with your faith and see God work. You can't be saved for them, but you can pray for their healing. Amen? You pray for them. You trust God for them. You fall on your face for them, just like these guys sang about. You leave a legacy, and you trust the results into the hands of Almighty God. "But Pastor, I've been praying. I've been praying over and over and over and over." Well, if you got breath in your lungs, then God's saying, you better keep praying. You better keep believing. You better keep trusting. Keep going. The daughter, listen, the daughter's in bondage. The daughter's all chained up with demonic possession. I don't have time to unpack all that, but the point is, she can't do it for herself. She needs someone, listen, to be her intercessor. Every week I'm asking y'all, hey, come, be saved, resurrender, join this church. And some of y'all need to be intercessors. There's people you need to pray for. It could be a family member, a friend. It could be a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student, somebody on your sports team. You need to be an intercessor for them. They're in bondage. I'm not saying you can be saved for them. They have to personally trust Jesus Christ. But I'm saying you can be the one like the four dudes that brought the paralytic to Jesus. Y'all remember those four dudes? They could not get to the Lord. So what did they do? "Well, boys, let's go on back to the house. It's too crowded." Is that what they did? Man, they climbed up on the roof. It broke out the roof tiles. I wouldn't be too happy if my house was crowded and you broke through my roof. But they broke through the roof. Lord, that boy right in front of Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus, seeing their faith, plural, their faith, looked at him and said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And so that people would know he could not only forgive sins, but do on the outside what he did on the inside, he then later said, because the cynics were talking about him, hey, arise, take up thy mat and walk. And the guy did both, had his sins forgiven, and the guy walked home. Why? Because he had believing friends. Now, that's important, church. That's important. Because you know people that are far from God. You know people in bondage. You know people paralyzed. You have faith on their account, like these precious mamas in the Bible, like this unnamed but not unnoticed mother. Moms and dads and really anybody who's a believer here, be persistent. Don't stop. And Jesus will properly reward your faith. I mean, I wonder how many of y'all are here today. Seriously, how many of y'all are here today because of a faithful mama that was persistent in your life? I mean, I know for a fact that it's two ladies. My mother, who had me in church 9 months before I was born and made sure I went whether I wanted to go or not. Thank you for not asking my opinion, for making me go, by the way. Hello? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all little helicopter mamas and daddies out there protecting your little babies. You're super. You deserve a trophy. No, they're a little loser. Get them up. Listen. That was free, by the way. That was totally free. Listen to me. It was by her persistence, and it was by a cute young thing that basically said, if you're going to date me, you're going to get back in church, big boy. She didn't call me big boy, but I'm waiting for that. So, I'm fun size. Listen. I got to get back on track. Quit. You may not instantly be rewarded by your faith. But one day, whether here when you stand before the Lord, if you will be faithful here, you will be rewarded there. I guarantee it by the word of the living God. Mega faith is precisely directed to Christ, persistently declared about Christ. Ladies, it's properly rewarded by Christ. Gentlemen, it is properly rewarded by Christ. Little Logan. Oh, little Logan came up to his mom in the kitchen one evening. She was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper. He had written some stuff on the front, so Mama dried her hands on her apron. She began to read what it said. Little Logan said, for cutting the grass, $5. I need to hire that little dude. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. For babysitting my kid brother while you were shopping, $1. Taking out the garbage, 25 cents. Getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up, raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, Logan's mama looked at that piece of paper standing there, and little Logan could tell the wheels were turning in mama's head. So she took that piece of paper and turned it over, and she began to write a list of her own. She said, for the 9 months I carried you while you grew inside me, no charge. For all the nights I've sat up with you and doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and the tears you've caused, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, and wiping your backside and your nose, no charge. When you add it all up, son, the cost of my love for you, no charge. And little Logan finished reading what Mama said, and he had big old crocodile tears in his eyes. He looked up at her, and his tears splashed down. He said, Mama, I sure do love you. He took that piece of paper back and he turned it back over to his side. And he wrote in big block letters, paid in full. That little fella realized something. He realized that a mother's love cannot be calculated with dollars and cents. See, there is no way in this sermon or 1,000 sermons I could adequately describe for you the tremendous love of Ma. Now, maybe you've experienced the incredible love of a mom, and maybe you've never had that in your life. Even if you believe you have the greatest mother in all the world, I want you to know today God loves you even more. I don't know how. I don't know how it's possible for the Lord himself to love us even more than mamas. But the Bible says the love of our Heavenly Father never fails, and he wants you in his family forever. Jesus didn't just talk about how much he loves us. Jesus didn't just wire us some flowers. Jesus himself came down from the glory of heaven, and Jesus spilled his blood on Calvary, and Jesus took all of your sin debt and all of the junk in your life and my life or our kids or grandkids, and Jesus took it all down, and in his own blood he wrote in big old letters, paid in full. It is finished. You see, that's what Jesus did for you, and that's the love that God has for you, and he's asking you to give your life to him today. And the greatest thing you'll give your mama for Mother's Day if she doesn't know Jesus is give her the gospel, give her the truth, give her your faith. And if she does know Jesus and you're not a believer, give your heart to him, give your life to him. You will give her nothing better. And if you both already know Jesus, then give God your appreciation today, your gratitude overflowing. And for those whose mamas are already with Jesus, you need to offer your prayers. You need to offer your thanksgiving. You need to say, Lord, thank you. Nobody in this world is perfect, but God, thank you for the family you've given me. Thank you for the influences you've given me. And I would ask you, do you have great faith in Christ today? Do you have faith for your eternal and abundant life today? This lady wasn't even from Jesus's area. She wasn't from his tribe. She was a totally different kind of person. But buddy, she believed, and she was rewarded for that belief. There is a lot we can learn from a mother's mega faith. Stand with me this morning. I want you to hear this invitational call very clearly, okay? I'm gonna offer a special prayer, number one, a blessing for our mothers. I wanna pray that God would richly bless you mamas and grandmoms in every way. But secondly, I'm gonna pray that you're gonna give your life to Jesus here today if you don't know him. I know some of you are here because mama said, that's okay, listen to your mama. You need to come. There'll be pastors here. Give your life to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He loved you enough to die for you. I know your mama would too. She doesn't need to. Jesus has already done it. So you come and give your life to Christ. Some of you need to come and unite with the fellowship of this church. You're ready to take the next step, and we need your guest parking place. So please come and join our church. And then some of y'all today, now listen to me, y'all. Some of y'all need to come as those great intercessors. Now listen, do you know somebody in bondage? Do you know somebody that's enslaved to something? That Satan's got them all bound up. It might even be your own kid. Do you know somebody like that? Could God use your faith to bring them freedom? Your faith brings them freedom. I just don't believe that. Then you just deny the word and the power of God. But I believe that. So you could come today. There's a tough group that I want to pray for today, and you can come too. You can just come in the flow. You know, there's a group of ladies and a group of men that struggle to conceive. And maybe they've battled infertility issues a long time, and this can be a very challenging day for them. And sometimes the church hasn't always been as sensitive as we need to be. As the video said, we come alongside of you in hope and in prayer. We pray that God gives you the desires of your heart, be it through a biological child of your own or through foster adoption. And that's such an incredible picture of salvation, of what God did for us, that you would choose a child. But however God may answer that prayer in your life, ladies, men, if you struggled in that area, we hear the hurt of your heart, and we want to pray that God brings you a miracle. That God brings hope from hopelessness. That God brings life from death. That God brings light from darkness. That's the God we serve, church. So we want to ask that God would speak to you. And if you're in that category, you know, I just among all the others, because this altar should be full. Y'all, this altar should be packed. Among all the others, you should come. Just let us pray for you. We don't want to embarrass or call you out, but man, God loves you. And listen to me. Now listen. Many of the greatest mamas in the Bible, many of them struggled with this issue for years. Do you know that? Many of them, the Hannahs and Sarahs of the Bible, many of them struggled with it. But God would bless them. We invite you to come. As I start to pray, I'm just going to ask you to start coming. If you're in a pew where somebody might want to move, I know they're tight, move out of the way and let them come. You ought to come yourself if they want to move. But would you pray for yourself and others? Through your faith, can someone find freedom today? That's your invitation. you can begin to come right now. Heavenly Father, even as people begin to move, I'm first and foremost going to say we love you. We thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for the gift of moms and grandmothers today. And God, I pray a special prayer blessing on them. Some of them are coming even right now. Some of them are coming to pray for their children right now. Some of them are coming to ask you, Lord, for healing in the home right now. Thank you for their faith passed down generation to generation. We pray blessings for our ladies. We are so honored by them. God, we pray for those that need Jesus today to come, to be saved, to take a pastor by the hand, speak to a counselor, come from death to life today. We come for those, Lord, who have been far from you and simply need to come home. The prodigals returning home. Welcome them with open arms today. We come for those who are disconnected or disenfranchised and ask you, oh God, to bring them back and restore. We come today for those who are struggling. Maybe struggling to conceive. Maybe struggling with their own kiddos. Maybe struggling with postpartum or other forms of depression. Maybe just struggling, God. We don't know what it is, but you do. God, would you speak words of peace and comfort over them today into their hearts, even in these moments. God, I pray that you give them the desires of their hearts right now. Even as many gather up front here, would you bless? Would you move as we continue to respond in Jesus' name and for his glory?